Hey everyone, it's another Stunt Granny WrestleMania audio. So this time around, we're going to cover the hastily thrown together triple threat match of Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes, and Randy Orton.
Yep, and even though we promised Cena Batista, we wanted to end our evening on a good note. So we're covering this, as you well put it, hastily thrown together triple threat match.
Yeah, it, I don't know, this is a match that should have happened, sort of. I mean, and the reason I say sort of is a triple threat match doesn't really make a lot of sense, because up until, you know, the last edition of Raw, there was no animosity between Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes. I mean, there were some backstage things for, was it the Royal Rumble, possibly? Yeah, it was the Royal Rumble, where Orton went against Sheamus, right? And they kind of dropped it after that.
Yeah, because they ended up being buddy-buddy again, because they weren't really, like, I wouldn't say they were not friends, but they weren't really getting along. It was like, Cody wasn't really taking Orton's side, but DiBiase was.
Right. But they, I'm going back to the Rumble. They were also playing each other against each other, though. I'm sorry, playing each one off of Randy Orton. Because remember, Rhodes went up and was like, yeah, I can't believe, you know, Ted said this. And then later on, DiBiase's like, I don't know what Cody's problem is, but he said this. And then, you know, Cody ends up blowing the match for Randy Orton. And then, was it the next night on Raw, got his ass handed to him?
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, and then it's been, I mean, it's, they've teased animosity with these guys so much that the fact that, you know, they've broken them up just kind of happened. There was no big angle to break them up. It just happened.
Yeah, I mean, it did happen right after the Rumble there. I think it was kind of made official when Orton finally gave the RKO to DiBiase.
Yeah.
But even then, it just wasn't very momentous. Mm-hmm. You know, the build had been always just so uneven. Like, they'd had enough fights that you're just like, oh, they're going to get back together, whatever. He's just yelling at him again. Who gives a shit?
That's exactly it. It was like, oh, he yelled at him once again, and the two little bitches are taking it. There was nothing that ever, there was no angle to where it was like, oh, my God, and they're building up, and it just, one day, they decided not to help him anymore. And then, all of a sudden, they attacked him, and then, I know, it was like, it was almost as if the planning was supposed to be that Orton was supposed to be the heel, and they were supposed to be the faces, but the crowd just started turning on the two of them and started cheering Orton instead.
Yeah, well, good old spindly legs just doesn't have very much going for him.
Well, he needs to put on some knee pads. I mean, it's ridiculous. Everybody in wrestling wears them, I'm pretty sure. Except for Cody Rhodes for some reason, and it makes his legs look spindly.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that he does have small legs to boot.
But remember.
But the knee pads would at least cover things up.
Right. But you also got to remember that Triple H, that one time where he had the knee pads around his ankles, he looked like he had some spindly-ass legs, too.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I'm going with the whole, you know, if he had knee pads, maybe it could camouflage it a little. Because I can't remember offhand if he wears boots or not.
Yeah, he does, because he has, like, his knee pad right above his boots.
Ah, that's right. Yes, he wears them on his calf for some reason. That's right.
Because that's where you wear your knee pads.
Yeah, and who gets a calf injury anyways in any sport? I mean, hockey maybe, when you get the puck hit into you.
Yeah, I was going to say every now and again, but honestly, it's not like a common thing.
Yeah. Knee
injury is much more common.
Yes. Yeah, of course. And especially in a wrestling ring where, you know, you land awkwardly on your legs all the time. You'd think you'd want some protection there. But anyways, I don't know how we always end up talking about his legs. Man, it's just awful. But
yeah, it's because there really hasn't been too much to the build-up is what the problem
now, true.
Is.
Well, they tried making something last night to give everyone a hint when we recorded these, but it just... They tried to give him something because Cody came out, and Cody is still killer on the mic. He's light years ahead of Ted DiBiase still.
Oh, you think?
I think so, yeah, because every time Ted DiBiase starts talking, I'm like, wow, he just sounds... He has like a mush mouth sort of thing to him. Oh, well, you know, you're right. You're right, Cody. And I came out more of like a redneck. So, no, I mean, when comparing the two, it always seems, I mean, maybe it's just their different deliveries, but maybe that's part of it, is that they have two distinct deliveries, and Cody ends up sounding so much better, you know?
I don't know. I guess I don't think Cody sounds that much better to me. Like, I think that they're fairly even, and... Maybe part of the problem is just the fact that it's been weird, like, because DiBiase kind of had that hot debut, whenever the fuck that was, on the mic, and they have barely given it to him since then.
Yeah, and you also think that with his movie coming, or his movie that is out now, they would have given him more mic time. I mean, I think DiBiase is the one that they clearly want to push in the future. As a main eventer, I think Cody Rhodes may be saddled with being a mid-card guy. I really do.
And I mentioned this way back when I went to Raw, that I was kind of surprised at how big Rhodes was, but still, in comparison to everybody else, he's just tiny.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's...
And he's not like a Rey Mysterio, he's an underdog, small guy kind of tiny. He's just seems tiny, period. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And it also, Rhodes is more defined. He has more definition, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
Than DiBiase does, but DiBiase looks more like a bruiser.
Yeah.
Is like pretty boy as he is. He still looks like he's the bulkier of the two, the rougher one, which is something his dad never was. I mean, I'd say he's bigger than his dad ever was.
Oh, yeah. Muscle-wise, I don't know. I can't remember if they stood side-by-side.
Well, it's kind of hard for DiBiase to stand side-by-side with anybody. I mean, his dad is not, you know, is not what he used to be, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, but I always thought of him, like, even though his dad wasn't that big of a guy, I always thought of him as kind of tall, at least. Like,
yeah.
He was more in that Barry Windham kind of category where it was like, okay, well, at least he has some leverage or something, or he's kind of a tall guy.
I think he was only about 6'2", maybe 6'3", at the most. So.
Still, though, at that point, they weren't exactly bringing in all these Dave Bautista / Ezekiel Jackson-sized guys.
They were just big and bulky. Yeah. Well, the one guy we've pretty much ignored the whole time is the main eventer of the group. And that's Randy Orton, and I don't know what I don't see. This really seems like one of those matches where it's like, oh shit, we forgot to do what to do with all these guys, and then they go, oh double shit, because they totally forgot one of the top heels in their comp. Well, who used to be the top heel in their company. So what are we gonna do, guys? And then they came up with this. I mean, for Randy Orton. This is kind of a demotion, even if storyline purposes it makes sense.
Oh yeah, like this is almost as big of a demotion as Triple H, honestly. I mean, at least this has been set up over some span of time, so it's not as out of the blue as the Sheamus Triple H angle is. But still,
right.
I think we've done a pretty good job of mentioning how kind of, you know, there's a good drawn out and there's a bad drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is the bad drawn out type of deal.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because you mentioned Triple H, Sheamus, they're the exact same, but they're both bad. This one went way too long, and Triple H, Sheamus was way too short.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, It would have been ideal to have this breakup at the Royal Rumble, or, well, I guess it would have been Elimination Chamber, really. Which we totally glossed over the fact that Ted DiBiase cost Randy Orton the Elimination Chamber match. I, you know, totally forgot about that.
So, well, and they did too, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't even know if they mentioned it last night. Because, like, that really could have been one of those things that Ted used to top Cody. It was like, hey, dude, by the way, I cost Randy Orton the title, and I got into the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, you can say you're going to win, but everything's proven to be the exact opposite. I mean, and I liked that interplay last night because it wasn't over the top, but they both just kind of went, what? Like, I mean, it was the throw it out there and hopefully it works sort of stipulation or sort of angle. But it seems with Randy Orton that they didn't want him to be a face. No matter what they were doing, the people were starting to cheer for him. And it kind of put him in that unenviable position. Like, well, what are we going to do with this guy now?
Yeah, and they need to figure that out after... after WrestleMania, like they need to get a game plan together. No Triple H, pun intended.
Yeah, well, supposedly Triple H, something we forgot to cover, is taking time off. He's possibly taking time off after WrestleMania because Stephanie's knocked up again. And
oh, good for him!
If he goes, they're going to be missing, in all probability, Shawn Michaels and Triple H then. Which would blow up our theory of Triple H costing Shawn Michaels a match, but, you know. If that's the case, are they going to be able to sit and run with Randy Orton? Because you can't have a Randy Orton-John Cena feud again. For God's sake, you can't do that.
Well, and I keep on thinking that one of those matches, the heels got to win. You know, it's one of the title matches, and I can't figure out which one it is, but they really seem like, and especially, well, I don't know if we want to save, I'll save that for the update.
Yeah.
I don't know, you can't really turn Orton back heel, like, and I don't know, when are they planning on having the draft?
Damn it, I... Would actually have that.
But isn't it like late mid-April or something like that? Like it's not like right away after WrestleMania.
No, because I know they were selling like special tickets for it. And... But
Anywho, they've got to figure
April
something
30th.
Out. Oh, April 30th. Okay, it's the end of the month.
Yeah.
They just really have... Oh, man, Triple H out of there. Whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to try to predict that part of it. But, yeah, they need to come up with something for him. Yes. Yeah. I don't see them doing Cena Orton again. I really hope not.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I mean,
or at least
excuse
maybe,
me, it was April 26th edition. That's my fault, not 30th.
Maybe you solidify Orton as a babyface and have him take on Batista if he loses the belt.
Well, I still think that there's a reason to have I think there's still a reason to have Orton Sheamus too. I mean, they only had the one go around and they never went back to it. So, you know, and then you can feud Cody and Ted if you want. You know?
Yeah.
If you want to have him go that way about it. So there's possibility coming out of this match. It's just going into it. They needed to do something, and they needed to get these guys on the card, and this was what they came up with. And
yeah,
it doesn't bode well for Randy Orton, really, because I think one of the legacy members will end up winning somehow. Because if they don't, it totally screws them both.
They're totally screwed right now.
Yeah. Well, they've been getting wins over him, making him look a little more successful. So it's like, you know, you got to keep some of that momentum going still, you know?
Right.
Just something with him. And for Randy Orton, he can absorb, he can absorb a loss. It's not a big deal. he's been losing here and there, so, you know, maybe it would serve him better, you know.
It's possible.
Yeah.
And especially if he gets screwed and you want to kind of keep him keep him babyface, which, honestly, teaming him with Triple H this past week, you know, there isn't any way. And plus,
yeah.
He hasn't changed his move set very much. But you can tell that his in-ring character is a little bit different.
Well, he's also growing his hair out as well. So to get away from the whole serpent, slimy, whatever Michael Cole likes to say.
Yeah.
The Viper, that's it.
The Viper.
But also, yeah, going to the draft thing, there's a pay-per-view the day before. So that makes sense, actually.
Oh. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know. So I'm going to say that they're finally going to give Ted DiBiase the win in this one. And then him and Cody can kind of, you know, go at it for a while if they want to. So just my uninformed opinion.
Okey-doke. Well, I'm going to pick Randy Orton still to win. Like, I believe that's a possibility, but I still think that Orton wins that one just because they don't have any faith in those two other guys.
Yeah. That's a possibility.
Which sucks for them, but, you know, I think they have at least a little bit more to offer than they've been given, but whatever,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't think there's really much more to say. The fact we got this long on it's kind of a surprise, really.
Hey,
so
that's what happens when you talk about spindly legs.
Yes, god damn, way too much time to him, but all right, well, as it turns out, we'll be back tomorrow, since this is the evening one. We're going to start off in the morning with the Show Miz versus Truth and Wisdom, or Wisdom and Truth. And then we'll just go from there. And hope everyone enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.